The scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today we begin our new Christmas series by looking at this story of Elf, a little orphan baby boy who crawled into Santa's sack one Christmas Eve and was taken to the North Pole. He was adopted by Papa Elf and named after the tag on his diaper, Little Buddy Diapers. And so Buddy grows up as an elf trying to fit into an elf world. But the older he gets, he realizes something is just wrong. He just can't do things as the other elves do until one day he discovers that he's really a human living in an elf world. And Papa Elf explains everything about his past, how his mother died giving birth, and how his father never knew about him, and this is why he was in an orphanage as a baby. And so Buddy begins the search for his birth father, Walter Hobbs, who lives in New York City and who is on the naughty list. So today I want to show you a short clip from the first scene where Buddy the Elf, who is trying to fit into his elf world, discovers that he's really not an elf.
You want to give me a hand with that?
You want me to help?
As much as Buddy was accepted by his family and friends, there were a few drawbacks to being a human in an elf's world.
Be a little bit short on today's quota.
It's all right, buddy. Just how many extra sketches did you get finished? Come on, buddy, how many?
I made 85.
85? That puts you 915 off the pace.
Why don't you just say it? I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
No, buddy, you're not a cotton-headed ninny muggins. We all just have different talents, that's all.
Seems like everyone else has the same talents except for me.
You have lots of talents. Special talents, in fact. Like, special talents?
You changed batteries in the smoke detector?
Uh-huh. Sure did. AAA's. And in 6 months, you'll have to check them again.
Mm-hmm. And you're the only baritone in the elf choir. You bring us down a whole octave.
In a good way.
See, buddy, you're not a cotton-headed ninny muggins. You're just special.
And so, Buddy was sent where the special elves work.
Slack on those edges, can't you?
No problem.
I appreciate it. Buddy is killing me. I already got Lum Lum and Choo Choo pulling doubles.
It's quick thinking yesterday with that special talents thing.
I feel bad for the guy. Just hope he doesn't get wise.
Well, if he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will.
I think they're too small.
I'm just special.
You don't look so good, Buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be okay. I just need a glass of water.
One of my favorite scenes is where he's doing those little dills and you jump every time, or I do anyways. You ever tried to fit in somewhere and you just didn't quite fit? You know, it just wasn't you. You kind of felt like a square peg in a round hole. You know, sometimes that sort of thing can even happen within our families, either with you or with someone else in your family and another family member. Last Thursday, we celebrated Thanksgiving, and for many of us, it was just one of those days that all of the family got together, even weird Uncle Al, who, you know, likes to collect roadkill and make mittens for us at Christmas, or our Aunt Bertha, who just kind of can't sit through a meal without blowing her nose at the table at least three times. But they're family, right? They're family. Or maybe you could be the odd one out, especially if you can't think of anyone in your family that's a little odd. but in a good way, right? In a good way. You could be the odd one out. Maybe you could be the one who just doesn't care for sports, and football's played all day long, and everyone seems to know all the players by name, who they're related to, and all the other teams and all of their stats. They know what team they've played for before, and they even know what they like to eat for dinner. And all you really know is that it's just about a bunch of guys in tights chasing a little ball around a field. Sometimes it can be tough trying to fit in. But again, in the case of family, we do what we need to do because we're family. After all, we don't want to be a cotton-headed ninny-muggin, right? Sure. And, you know, Jesus even had weird family members that probably didn't fit in so well around festival meals. In today's scripture, the Bible draws our attention to this man by the name of John. Not the gospel writer John, but John the baptizer. And this Baptist, John the baptizer, was Jesus' cousin who gave testimony how Jesus was the light, how Jesus was the Messiah, how he came into our world to bring God's redeeming love to all people. And that's a great message of truth. That's a great message of hope for us. Yet, John the Baptist was really one different character, even in Jesus' day. He wore camel-haired clothing, and his diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. I mean, can you really imagine sitting down with him at your Thanksgiving meal last week? You know, and you're there cutting your turkey, and you have your mashed potatoes and your noodles and dressing and all the other stuff piled around, and you hear this chicken cooking noise, kind of like that movie Christmas Vacation, and they're sitting around the table and they're eating that burnt turkey, that noise. But it's not turkey. It's not turkey. It's a plate full of locust parts. I mean, how much meat can you get off of a locust wing, right? Right? And no doubt he probably has globs of honey embedded in his beard. Probably no one in your family is as weird as John the Baptist, right? But you see, we all have family members or friends that maybe even us who may not always fit in. And that's okay. But what I want you to hear this morning is this good news. And the good news is this, is with God, we all fit in. We all fit in. Jesus may have had a weird cousin by the name of John, but he still fit into God's family. Even weird Uncle Al, who makes those furry mittens every Christmas, he still even fits in to God's family. And I think that's part of what the gospel writer wants us to understand on this first Sunday of Advent, that the Word became flesh. The New Living Translation says, so the Word became human and made His home among us. Why? Because we are all a part of God's story. You know, often in the church, you hear how we as God's people, we make God a part of our story, how we invite Jesus in and we grow in Christ and God transforms our life to reflect more and more of His image, His love, His grace, His compassion. And this is all true, all true. God works in through us, our life bringing change in and through us, helping us to reach out our hearts and our lives to a broken world. That's called bringing the light of God to the world. And so God is a part of who we are. God is a part of our story as people. But John would also have us to understand, while this is all true, God's a part of our story as people, you see, you and I are a part of God's story. Get that? We are a part of God's story. You see, you and I are part of God's story. God has a story, and we are a part of His story. Those who welcome His love and become adopted children of the King, and those that don't, those who refuse His love and grace. But we all are a part of God's story. Jesus, or John, said to us that it was in the beginning the Word already existed. So before people, before critters, before anything existed, the Word already existed. Who is the Word? Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. In other words, we are a part of God's story. God brought everything into existence. Jesus, the Word, spoke everything into existence. And then He created us in His image. You see, it's not about us. We are a part of God's story. In fact, everything around us, everything that has ever been or ever will be on earth, everything that we will discover about our universe and beyond is a part of God's story, regardless if it realizes it or not. All the Word became human. The Word became light to our darkened world because we are a part of God's story. God created us in His image and breathed the breath of life into us, creating us into this living soul. No other creature, no other living thing God did this for. We are a part of God's story. And we see example after example of this throughout the pages of Scripture. Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit. But they were a part of God's story. And so instead of starting over, God redeemed them and made the way possible for them to remain a part of His story. Time and time again, the Israelites, they turned from God. They went their own way, and God could have just let them perish. But no, His very breath resided in them. They, an essential part of God's creation, nothing else in creation like them. They were a part of God's story, and God redeemed them time and time again. But all of creation is part of God's story. All people, and while Israel was to be a blessing to all nations, and it kept to itself, and the story of God they kept to itself became so rigid, so corrupt, so unreachable, so rigid because God's people made it that way, no one could ever claim their adopted inheritance as God's child. And so again, God made a way for all people of all time could claim their inheritance and be children of God, so that all people might know that they are a part of God's story. And knowing that, they would make God a part of their story. You see, that, friends, is how you and I fit in to the Christmas story. That not only are we a part of God's story, but that we would make God a part of our story. Since the time of creation, we have been a part of God's story, and God has sent His redeeming love to our world time and time again because we are a part of His story, until finally for all time, for all people, God Himself would clothe Himself in flesh and be born among us as a helpless infant, to live among people, to show us what it is to live as a child of God. And then God, Jesus, would make the way possible for you and I and for all to live with Him forever as His redeemed people. The divine Jesus would pay the price for His creation. He would redeem us by His very own blood. The humanness that separates the divine and the created would be redeemed once and for all, as Jesus would take on our sin, our separation from God, and fully pay the price on a Roman cross, so that you might claim your inheritance, so that you might make God a part of your story, knowing that God has already made you a part of His story. The gospel writer John said He, Jesus, came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Oh, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Church, today I truly hope that each and every one of you has made God a part of your story. You're already a part of God's story, whether you like it or not. But we do need to come to a realization that God has given and provided for us in Jesus Christ, and then claim that inheritance as children of God. And I want to tell you, if you've never done that, I want to give you that opportunity to do so today. And so don't be a cotton-headed ninny muggin. And if God moves your heart today and you can truly receive that greatest gift that you could ever receive in life, because it'll be from your ever-loving Father, the one who has made the way for His light to shine in you. In the story of Elf, I just love that scene where Buddy meets his birth father for the very first time. And Buddy just loves Walter unconditionally. And Buddy has come a long way to help his father to know that he exists. He's traveled through the seven lands of candy cane forests, through the sea of twirly-whirly gumdrops, and he's even walked through the Lincoln Tunnel. In fact, he even gets attacked by a raccoon. But unconditionally, Buddy loves his birth father, Walter. And he sings this crazy little song that he makes up. And in it, he tells how he was adopted and that Walter, his daddy, didn't know about him and how he's here and he's now found his daddy. And guess what? I love you, I love you, I love you, he sings. Oh, and then Buddy shows Walter a picture of Walter and Buddy's mother back in their college days. And a little later, Walter becomes so frustrated and he yells at Buddy, saying, "Just who the heck are you and what is your problem?" And Buddy responds, "I'm Buddy, your son." And Walter thinks that he's just messing with him or that he's just out to get something from him. And Buddy says, "No, I just wanted to meet you and I thought you might want to meet me. I thought maybe we could make gingerbread houses and eat cookie dough and go on ice skating and maybe even hold hands." No matter what Walter threw at Buddy, Buddy still loved and accepted him. Even when Walter told him to leave and to never come back, Buddy left, but he never stopped loving his dad. And we know this because Walter finally comes around and he starts acting like a dad. Buddy then welcomes him and clings to him because they're family. Walter is a part of Buddy's story. And now Buddy becomes a part of Walter's story. I love this line. "I just wanted to meet you and thought you might want to meet me." That's a divine word, church. That's a divine word. That word is God for you, for me. You see, what I love about this scene is how it ties us to the truth that what God has shown us. In this scene, Buddy represents God. God making the journey to us because He already loves us and we are already a part of His story. God fully goes the distance, not through the land of twirly-whirly gumdrops, but through the perilous cross so that He might fully reveal to us the hope that we might recognize Him and welcome Him into our life like Walter finally does and become the family that He has created us to be. It really is a divine word, a divine spark in that movie. Walter and Buddy becoming a family. Walter making him a part of his story. Us making Jesus a part of our story. This is the gift that's offered to all. You'd think that it would be a gift that would be welcomed by all, but it's not. There are a lot of Walter Hobbs out there in our world just thinking that maybe it's a ploy, maybe it's just trying to get something from me, or it's just too unbelievable in our modern world. And for others, it just interferes too much with my life to welcome this gift. People know that walking with God will bring change to their life from the things that we do and say to even how we think. This transformation can be really frightening because we think it somehow will mess up our lives. Walter told Buddy to get out of his office, to get out of his life because he was messing up his life. It was just too hard for Walter to receive Buddy's love. And sometimes it's just too hard to receive love, God's gift of love, we think. But listen, John tells you and I that the Word became human and made his home among us, that he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Unfailing love. God never gives up on you. Kind of like Buddy the Elf, who loved no matter what. He loved Walter before Walter ever knew him. He loved even when he was rejected time and time again. And the ever-loving Father will never give up on you. He'll never give up on that family member or that friend that you've been praying for. You are a part, and they are a part of his story, and you fit into God's plan. Even if you are a little weird, you still fit in. So today, you can receive that greatest gift that you'll ever receive in life by making the ever-loving Father a part of your story. Today, I want to pray a prayer of invitation. And if you're ready today to open up your life to the ever-loving Father and welcome his love and to believe that he sent Jesus to redeem you of sin and your separation from God, then God will give you life like you've never had it before. Today, if you're ready to claim that gift, that God loves you and to become his adopted child, to receive Christ into your life and ask that he would come and meet you and you would discover him, then just in a few moments, I'm going to have you stand and we'll pray together. And then after that, I'll offer another prayer, a prayer for anyone today who feels that maybe they need to reconnect with Jesus, to recommit with Jesus. That you've already invited him in, but you really need to make him part, truly part of your life, truly part of your story. That today you want to begin anew with your elf, with your ever-loving Father. That today and forever you want to fit in to his plan for your life. So let's pray together. And if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart and life, now's the time. I'd invite you to stand and pray this prayer with me. Loving God, you truly are Emmanuel. You are the ever-loving Father, and you never give up on me. And you've made me, Jesus, you've made me a part of your story. And today I want to make you a part of my story with you. So come into my heart, into my life, and to fill me to overflowing with the hope that only you can bring. Forgive me of my sins, and help me, Jesus, to walk faithfully with you every day. For this I ask, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. For those this morning who might want to reconnect with Jesus, to recommit our lives to our ever-loving Father, I would invite you to pray this prayer with me. Loving God, I need you to be a part of my story. I've stepped away. I've moved apart. I've not lived exactly how I know you would want me to live. And so this day, Jesus, on this first Sunday of Advent, this new season, this new year, I want to rededicate my heart and my life to you. I want to reclaim, Jesus, that gift of life that you bring to all. I want to recognize you, Jesus, in my story, knowing that I'm a part of your story, Jesus. And I'm a part of your story, God. And I want you to be a part of my story. So God, just continue to come in and forgive me and make me whole. Help me to live out my days as your child. As your adopted child who loves me forever and ever, and that will never end. For this I pray, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. This time I would like to invite those who are helping to serve communion to come to the front, and we'll prepare our hearts. It was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He met with his disciples in an upper room. And there he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. It was after the supper Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for all people for their forgiveness of sins. As often as you take and you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me until my coming. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you and for all. Loving and holy God, we thank you for this bread and for this cup and for what it represents. We ask, oh God, that you would enter into these gifts of bread and cup so that it becomes more than just a representation, but it becomes truly your body, your blood, in our lives, in our hopes, and in our dreams. That you will bring us forgiveness of our sins, that you would bring us unity with one another, and that you would bring us that hope that only rests in you, Jesus, the fulfillment of that in time. Lord Jesus, we just ask now that you would just continue to redeem us and remake us into your image this Advent season and these days of our lives. For this we ask and pray in your precious name. Amen.